Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, choir. What a great reminder to us all that that's what Jesus has done for us. None of us is perfect. Trust me, we're saved by grace. All of us have a past. We're saved by grace. And that's really what we're going to be talking about this morning from the book of 1 Timothy in the New Testament. If you want to turn with me there to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in a little while, we're going to start at verse 12 and look at 1 Timothy. Does anybody here remember the name Paul Harvey? Does that name ring a bell to anyone? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. If you're under 30, 35, something like that, it may not seem like a name you recognize at all. Paul Harvey was a radio broadcaster for probably about 50 years, from like the 40s, mid-40s, up through the 90s on ABC Radio. He was a wonderful broadcaster. I loved to listen to him because he had this amazing voice and this great storytelling presence. And you know, I'm the kind of person, I like a good story. And he could really tell a good story and put a story in a really nice context to understand what he was talking about. But in Paul Harvey's broadcast, he had this program called The Rest of the Story. You remember that? And in that little program, what he would do is he would start talking about a person, but you wouldn't recognize who he was talking about. He would be talking about this person and what this person had gone through early on in their lives. He would talk about their failures and their mistakes and the trouble maybe they had gotten in and the poor life decisions that this particular person maybe has made in their past. And you wouldn't recognize this person at all, but he would go through all these things talking about their mistakes and their sins and their past and all of this stuff. And then after he went through all of that, he would say, "And now the rest of the story." And he would go on talking about this person today, talking about how this person had gone from that destructive past to this person who was a very well-known, maybe even a famous person, or maybe a person who had done something very special in the world today. This person who had taken their destructiveness and made it into victories and success and done some really amazing things with their lives. I've always loved to listen to those stories because it reminds me how amazing it is to remember that our past has a really direct influence on who we are and who we become and who we are today and how we relate to each other and how we relate to God. You see, everybody has a story. We all have a story. And we all maybe don't like to talk about our story, at least not maybe the whole story. One of my joys in my ministry is going out and sitting down with people and talking to them because I love to hear their story. And so often, what they'll tell me maybe is their story today, the rest of the story, they'll tell me that. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to talk about that other story. Sometimes it's hard to talk about that past story that maybe has been going on before they got to the place that they are now, this place where they want to let everyone know who they are. And we're all the same way. We all do this. We have certain aspects of our stories that we don't mind everybody knowing because they make us look good, right? They make us look sharp. They make us look like we got it all together. They make us look like we got it going on and everything's good. But we don't necessarily want to crack that door open and let you peer into those things that went on way back when. We don't necessarily want every chapter of the story to be spoken because it could be embarrassing. It could be something we're maybe ashamed of. It could be something that maybe we're afraid that you would reject us or you would reject me if you knew that aspect of my life and that thing, part of my story that has gone on. But my hope this morning is that we can all realize that there's a power in our story. That our story is important. Not just the rest of the story, but all of our story. There's a power to that story, and that if we'll take that story, and if we'll claim it, and if we'll own it, then we can even take that story and use that story as motivation to show people who God is in our lives and how, yes, this is where I was, and it's not a pretty place, and I made this mistake and did this terrible thing. We got that going on. But we can show people, yes, this is what I had, but look at where I am now. And you know who got me here? God. God's the one that got me to this place. God's the one that brought me from those ashes and brought me to this wonderful place that I'm at in my life. It's not my doing. It's not someone else's doing. It was God who did that. So we can take our story. If we're willing to own it, if we're willing to possess it and use it, we can take our story and use it to God's glory. Whenever I think about that and think about this the rest of the story thing, I have to think about Paul in the New Testament. Paul certainly has a life that was his old life, previous story, and then he has a life that was the rest of the story, so to speak. You remember Paul. He's the one that first came on the scene. If you go into Acts chapter 8, that's where Paul came on the scene. Paul was the guy who was there when this Christian Stephen was being executed with rocks, with stones. Paul's the guy that was standing on the sidelines telling everybody, let me hold your coat so you can throw it harder. Let me hold your coats for you so you can get him really good. Paul was the guy standing on the sideline giving his full approval to all these people who were stoning this Christian and executing Stephen. Paul was this very intelligent, very passionate, very dedicated man. A man on a mission, though. And his mission was destroy the church, period. He did not follow Jesus Christ. He did not believe in Jesus as who he said he was. And he wanted nothing better than to take the church and annihilate it from the face of the earth, destroy it, and destroy anybody who had anything to do with the church. And this is, he was sort of the poster child or the billboard guy of this kind of movement of destruction of the church and eliminating the church from the world. That was his goal in life. That was his old life. That was his past. And now, the rest of the story. He met this man on this road on the way to Damascus. This man named Jesus. Jesus got a hold of him. Jesus blinded him. Jesus confronted him and converted him. And you know the rest of the story, right? Paul was changed forever. Paul became this new creation. And that's the Paul we love to hear about. And that's the Paul we love to talk about. And that's the Paul we want to hold on to. The one who's the great missionary and the one who is the one who planted all of these churches. The one who wrote most of the New Testament, basically, if you want to look at it. The one who gave his life in service to Christ. That's the Paul we want to think about. We don't necessarily talk much about this Paul who was the murderer and the stoner. And the one who wanted to kill everyone who was associated with Jesus and with the church. It's easy to forget that past. And it would have been real easy, wouldn't it have been, for Paul just to say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that past. I don't want to talk about who I was. I want you to focus on this guy because I'm converted. I'm changed. I'm new. I'm alive. I'm the guy who's planting all these churches and helping all these people. Don't look back there. It would have been easy for Paul to hold that kind of attitude and not talk about it. But that's not what he did, is it? Paul owned his story. Paul possessed it. Paul took it and Paul used it. And Paul made sure that he took his story from beginning to end and he said it over and over and over again to these people. Here's who I was and who's who got me out of it. Here's who I was and is saved by grace. By his grace, I'm not that person anymore. By his grace, I am this person who is trying to plant churches and do everything I can for the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul used his story by owning his story to make sure God got the glory. So as we read this scripture, I want you to think about your story. This is just about you and God, not about anybody else. Think about your story because they're all different, but they're all the same in some ways. Think about your story. Think about how you got to where you are right now in your Christian life. We all have this story, sort of. Now, our stories probably aren't as dramatic as Paul's, are they? I don't think anyone here has this story quite that dramatic that Paul has had, but we all have a story that's laced with mistakes, poor decisions, sinfulness, doing things that maybe hurt other people, all these kind of things that we have in our lives. We want to depict ourselves as the rest of the story, as, you know, I got it going on. But the truth is, we've all got that stuff in our past. So as we're looking at this, understand what Paul understood, that you need to own your story to give it power in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with the 12th verse. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Now listen to what Paul's saying just in that one verse. Paul is basically saying, look how bad I was. Look how awful I was. And even me, he's chosen. Even me, he's appointed. Even me, he's put into service. Even to me, he's shown his grace. Even to me, he's done all of these things. He's appointed me to do this job for him in reaching people for Jesus Christ. Let's face it. I mean, that makes no sense. Does it make any sense to take a murderous, killing guy who is just totally against the church and put him in charge of everything? That's like putting a pyromaniac as a fireman or something like that. I mean, it makes no sense. That's like hiring a banker who was a bank robber. That makes no sense what God's doing. But God chose Paul. God chose this person with this horrible, horrible past because he knew that Paul would use that story. Use that story to glorify him. God knew that Paul would use that story to reach others for Christ. Verse 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul is sharing this information basically because he's basically saying, look, this is my story. I can't run from it. I've got to own it. I can't hide it. I'm ashamed of it maybe, but I'm not going to be embarrassed by it because you know what? It's because of that story that I can lift up Jesus Christ and I can say, I'm not in that anymore because of Christ. It's he who took me and showed me his grace and showed me his mercy and poured it out on me abundantly in all this to give me the faith to do what I'm doing. Verse 15 is the great verse that we're looking at this morning. Verse 15, he says, so here is a trustworthy saying. Based on all that stuff Paul's just said about his past and who he was, here's a trustworthy saying. It's a trustworthy saying for us today too. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I'm the worst. Paul's saying, look, he came to save me. I'm the worst. They don't get any worse. There's nothing worse than me. But even me, he came and he showed his grace and he saved. Nobody needs to ever say to me, and people have said it before, nobody needs to ever say to me, oh, that person's too far gone. There's no way God can reach them. There's no way the church can reach that person. That person is awful. There's no way that Jesus Christ can change that person's life. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Because we're looking at here at this guy who was a murderer. He was the worst. They got no worse than Paul. Paul's saying, here's a trustworthy saying. Jesus saves sinners. Are you a sinner? Yeah. Am I a sinner? Was Paul a sinner? A sinner is a sinner is a sinner. We're sinners. We're the worst. But all of us he's come to save. All of us. Everyone out there. All of them. Every one of them. I don't care who they are, where they've been, what they've done, what they're doing right now. I don't care. Jesus can reach them. Jesus can touch them. Jesus can save them. Can I? No. Can you? No. Can this church? No. Jesus, yes. Jesus can reach them. Jesus can save them. He did it to Paul. He can do it for any other person. Verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, in me, the worst of sinners. Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and forever. Why did God do that? Why did God go to this murderer, this terrible person, this worst of the worst? Why did God go to this person and save him? Why did God save Paul? Why did God want to appoint Paul to this position of service to plant and to build churches? Why did God hire Paul, this worst of sinners, to do this? It's because God knew Paul wouldn't forget his past. God knew Paul would take his story and make it his own. God knew that Paul would use his story as this great motivation. And Paul even said it. Paul said that he is the example of what Christ can do in people. He's the example. Christ can do it for anyone, Paul says, if Christ can do it for me. You know, I can remember back when I was, 5 or 6 years old, and one of my favorite things to eat, and this will not surprise you, but one of my favorite things to eat when I was 5 or 6 years old was chocolate ice cream. Now, you know I have a penchant for chocolate anyway, but chocolate ice cream in a cone, I loved me some chocolate ice cream. But I didn't get it very often, hardly ever. My daddy would go to the Winn-Dixie grocery store there in Gastonia, and he would buy what he called ice cream. You ever heard of Light and Lively? Yeah. That's not ice cream. Ice milk. That's chocolate milk that's been put in the freezer. It's nasty. You ever eaten it? You have. It's nasty, isn't it? That's not ice cream. And I would fuss and fuss. Pop, why don't you get us some ice cream? You know, you don't have to buy the Breyers. You don't have to spend $12 a gallon on it. You know, but anything, just some ice cream, not ice milk. He always, but you know, he was looking, watching after himself and his weight, and he bought what he would eat, and he bought ice milk, Light and Lively. Well, I couldn't stand it. I hated the, and I was constantly fussing, I want some ice cream, please. And every once in a while I would get some, but not very often. Well, one day I was at a friend of mine's house playing in the yard. And we were out there playing, and I heard this kind of tune playing. It's the same tune that you hear when you're turning the crank on the Jack in the Box, you know. I heard that tune. And I looked at my friend and said, what's that tune? He said, that's the ice cream man. They had an ice cream truck that came to their house right by it. And people would just flock to it. And my friend that I was with just flocked over there. Of course, I didn't have any money with me. I was a loser. I had nothing. I didn't get any. But they got ice cream, and I told to my friend, I said, I wonder what I can do to get him to come to my place, to come down my street. Several months later, I was out in the backyard playing by myself, as I did a lot of times, playing by myself. And I was concentrating on what I was doing in the summer sun, and I heard it. I know what that sound is. I ran into the house. My mother thought I had torn my arm off or something because I went in there yelling. But I needed 50 cents. I needed some money. And she gave me 2 quarters. I ran out to the ice cream truck, and I got the biggest cone of ice cream in 1966 that 50 cents would buy, the biggest chocolate ice cream cone. But here's what's interesting. I got my cone, and I was the only one standing at the ice cream man's thing. I got my cone, and I started eating, and I thought, you know what? If ice cream man came for me, he probably came for all my friends, too. And they don't know about it. They don't know he's here. I need to go tell them. I need to go let them know. I went and started, and we had tons of kids in our neighborhood. I went and started banging on every door I could bang on. Hey, the ice cream man's here. The ice cream man's here. And I probably had 50 kids out there in about 10 minutes. getting ice cream from the ice cream man. I figured, hey, he came for me. Surely he came for them too, right? If he was willing to come for me, certainly he's willing to share his ice cream with the other kids that are there in the neighborhood. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if you and I understood our story so well and understood the grace of what God has done in our lives so well that we would go through life with that kind of excitement about Jesus? Wouldn't it be awesome if we were that excited about Jesus, thinking, wow, he came for me. Surely he's come for you and for you and for that person out there. And even for that person that we don't think there's any hope, but he came for that person too. Wouldn't it be great if we had that kind of fervor and that kind of excitement in our lives of understanding what Jesus has done for you and me? That yes, we have come from a messed up past maybe, but we are where we are only because of him. It is by his grace we have been saved. Here is a trustworthy saying. Jesus came to save sinners, of whom some of us, all of us, we're the worst. He came to save us all. Now the fact is, we don't like to own our story, do we? We don't like to do that. And the fact is, many times, we choose to kind of mask our story instead of mastering it. The fact is that so many times, I think too often, we spend our lives kind of afraid of our story. Kind of afraid that someone's going to hear it. Kind of afraid that someone's going to find out about who I was in the past and how that maybe affected me back then in my past and in my life. We're kind of ashamed and kind of embarrassed by that story. But when we take our story and we understand it, when we take our story and when we own it, when we take our story, we can give it power. And it stops imprisoning us and it starts empowering us. When we own our story, we have the opportunity to take it and glorify God. And that's the purpose of it. That's why God brought you out of it. That's why God brought Paul out of it, so that he could be glorified by it. And who knows? If you share your story, I bet you somebody else has a similar story. I bet you somebody else has gone through the same things. And what a redeeming thing that can be for their lives. You see, they're not alone. They're not alone. Christ came for me. Surely he came for you too. Surely he came to save every person. Anytime I read this scripture, I've always thought about how Paul said that he was the worst. And I've always thought to myself, well, Paul only said that because he didn't know me. And that's really the truth. Paul only said that because he really didn't know Chris Howe. Jesus came to save sinners, and I'm the worst. And you may not see that, and you may not understand that, and you may not know that, but I do. I do. But I know that in those times when I have made mistakes, God never left me. It's always right there. In those times when I made some pretty poor decisions, he never left me. He never walked away. He never turned his back. He never left me. He always stayed with me. He's always guided me. He always redeemed me. And here I am because of God. Because Jesus came to save sinners. I want to own my story because the rest of my life, I want my story to motivate me to be a person who lets everyone know it's not too late. It's never too late. When Jesus is in the equation, all things are possible. It is never too late. And that person that you come in contact with, that you may be thinking to yourself, oh, it's too late, you're wrong. It's not too late. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to save me, and I was the worst one. Jesus came to save Paul, and he was the worst one. Jesus came to save sinners. And my job is to just tell people about this God who says, I love you regardless of what you've done or who you are. This God who accepts you no matter who you are. This God who forgives you no matter what you've done. That's grace. Unmerited grace that God has blessed us with. And I won't be silent. I can't be silent. I got to go tell people about the ice cream man. If I'm going to do that, I got to at least go tell people about the Savior of the world. I got to go tell people about this Jesus who came and who died for every single person. What's your story? Think of your story and make sure you own it, because that's how you can glorify God with your life. Let's bow and have a time of prayer together. Father, thank you for the ways that you have walked with each one of us in our lives, in the ups and the downs, in the failures, in the victories, in all the things that we faced in life, God, all the travels we have made, all the mistakes, all the missteps. God, forgive us, but we know you do. God, thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have full assurance that if you save Paul and if you save Chris, he can save anybody. He can save the worst. God, may you help us to take our story and use those life events that others may come to know you by you working through us, that you might be glorified by your grace and mercy and love and acceptance that you've offered to each one of us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness and for your Son. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.